Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and earned a BA in political science from the University of Michigan and a JD from Wayne State University School of Law. For 4 years, he was Director of Acquisitions for Grand Sakwa Properties. Since 2013, he's been the President and CEO of Agree Realty Corp. At 36, he's the second youngest CEO in the Standard & Poor's 1500 Index. His name? Joey Agree. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Joey Agree, the president and CEO of Agree Realty Corp. Joey, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thanks for having me, Jack. It's great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. So I grew up in Bloomfield Hills. Two sisters, fantastic parents, two older sisters. I was the baby. I grew up, you know, really in a fantastic family. My father and mother, they really taught me values. And really taught me how to hold myself. And I think that has been a critical piece of my journey today.
You had four parents then, Joey. What's the biggest thing that mom taught you, and what's the biggest thing that dad taught you?
Well, my parents taught me at a very early age to be able to really take care of myself, and they gave me the freedom and the flexibility to really learn things on my own, understand things on my own. I think that was the greatest gift that they gave me. And that's continued to this day with my father passing on the torch with Agree Realty and really letting me run this company, giving that flexibility, giving me that freedom, and really to discover things and learn things on my own.
What were you like as a kid? Joey, you still are a kid, okay? What were you like as a kid?
I was a handful. I think my mother and father and my sisters would agree. I was a handful. I had a lot of energy. I was very curious. I was passionate about things. And growing up with two older sisters, I was definitely rambunctious. So, you know, I enjoyed sports. I enjoyed learning. I enjoyed challenges. But I certainly ventured into areas I shouldn't have.
From 2002 through 2006, you were the director of acquisitions for Grand Sakwa Properties in the heyday of real estate. Talk about those years.
It was my experience at Grand Sakwa was fantastic. So I was going to Wayne State Law School at night, and I had the pleasure and privilege at working at Grand Sakwa, which was really undertaking some major projects in the Metro Detroit area. It was a fantastic experience. I had some great mentors, and it really provided me an in-depth look at real estate outside of the family business in some projects that were just huge at the time.
In the Jewish community, Joey, many times a young man gets out of college and he goes to work for a competitor or in another industry. And then after a few years, then he joins the family business. Why is that?
It's a great question, Jack. I think parents, in context of the Jewish community and in the culture, I think they view education as paramount. And I think a great piece of that education is not only formal education, it's not only college or a postgraduate degree, it's really the experience that people glean and learn from after graduation. And that work experience is part of the overall educational experience. And I think it's for me, it was invaluable. I had a number of work experiences that were invaluable, culminating in Grand Sakwa before I came to Agree Realty, that taught me things that you simply just can't learn working with your father or working in context of a family business.
In 2005, you joined Dad. You go to work for Agree Realty Corp, which had been formed in 1971 by Dad.
Correct.
Tell us about Agree Realty.
So Agree Realty today, we are a publicly traded REIT on the New York Stock Exchange with approximately 280 properties spanning across the country in 41 states. And we have a distinct niche in commercial real estate. We're focused on retail net lease properties, everything from a McDonald's, a Walgreens, or a Taco Bell, all the way to a Walmart, a Lowe's, or a big box retail, and everything in between. So we've it's a national portfolio today. It's a rapidly growing company. And it's an exciting place to be.
REIT. We didn't have any REITs on the south side of Chicago, Joey. We had Christmas wreaths, okay, but not REITs. What is an REIT?
Yeah, so a real estate investment trust, commonly referred to as a REIT, is really a creature of the tax code. By definition, REITs pay out 90% of their taxable income to their shareholders. And so it's a publicly traded company that owns, operates, and manages commercial real estate, income-producing real estate.
You go in 2005 to work for Dad and his team. And it's a cultural shock. Tell us about the first few months.
Yeah, so 2005, it seems like a long time ago now. When I came to the company, we refer to it today as really Agree Realty 1.0. And we've embarked on Agree Realty 2.0 really in the last few years. The company, as you mentioned, was formed in the early 1970s as Agree Development, went public in 1994 as Agree Realty, and my father had some fantastic core values that he passed along to me. Hard work, discipline, consistency, and conservatism, frankly. And those core values pervade the company today. That said, while our DNA is the same, the operating business is dramatically different. In 2010, we launched our acquisition platform. We've invested over $600 million in acquisitions since we launched that platform. In 2012, we launched our joint venture capital solutions platform, where we partners with developers nationwide to bring their projects to fruition. But we have from top to bottom, we have remade and remodeled Agree Realty 2.0. And that starts with the people, the processes, the systems, and then culminates in what we believe is a fantastic and growing culture to take this company forward in the 21st century.
God regularly brings angels to each of our lives. When we come back, we're going to talk to Joey about some of his angels. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Joey Agree. Joey, God gives us angels, mentors in our life. One phenomenal angel, I don't know if he's ever been called an angel by Terry, but John Rakolta. Tell us about John Rakolta.
Sure. John is a member of the board at Agree Realty, and he's been more than just a board member for me, specifically individually for me. John has been a mentor in all sense of the word for me. He's been a mentor in terms of obviously being a chief executive of a company and being a manager and a leader of people. He's provided personal guidance when I've needed it. He's been very, very valuable. The experience, the knowledge that John has is really wide ranging. And to have that kind of resource as a board member and as a friend and as a mentor for me has been absolutely fantastic. I think the most important thing that John has done is he's really pushed my boundaries to think bigger, to think disruptively, to challenge myself. And frankly, CEOs need that challenge. And as a board member, he's pushed the boundaries of Agree Realty. But as a mentor, he's really asked me personally to expand my boundaries and to think differently. And it's been a fantastic experience working with John and having him as a mentor.
The most important mentor in your life was your dad. Tell us about your dad.
There's no doubt about that. My father is not only the smartest person that I know, but he is a mentor that really has no bounds for me. I can remember all the way back to my early days, my father having the patience and spending the time with me. You know, I think the greatest compliment my father ever received was from a friend of mine about 10 years ago. We were catching up, and it was a friend of mine that I went to school from elementary to high school with, actually, and spent some time in college with. And he looked at me and he said, "Joey, one memory that I always have is sitting in the back seat of your father's car, and he'd be driving us to baseball games or basketball games and football games. And he would answer every single question that we asked him." And he said, we would sit there, we'd ask him question after question. He goes, "I wish my father did that for me." And it was a striking moment. I mean, this is a childhood friend of mine remembering 25 years ago the patience that my father had. And you know, I have two young sons today, George and Alex, and it serves as a reminder to have the patience to really spend that time and to allow someone to embark on their own journey and be a guide. But at the same time, to direct them quietly. And that's something my father continues to do this day. He's still executive chairman of the board. He's a valuable board member, obviously, but more importantly, he continues to serve as a mentor to me today in all aspects of my life.
The beginning of 2010, you take the reins of this company from your dad. Real estate is in a free fall. The stock market was tanking. Credit was almost impossible to find. And 29% of Agri Realty's rental income came from Borders Bookstores, and it's 20 stores. Then February 16th, 2011, Borders files bankruptcy.
Yeah, it
go
was
back to that day, Joey.
Sure. I back up even further. We go into 2010, and obviously, as you mentioned, the economy has its challenges. I saw it as a fantastic opportunity to take advantage of for this company. As a publicly traded REIT, we had access to the public equity markets. We had a significant credit facility, and we had the capital and the firepower ready to invest it, and we pounced on it, and we launched our acquisition platform. Shortly after launching the acquisition platform, obviously, Borders ran into some troubles. My father was a preferred developer for Borders. We owned their flagship store in Ann Arbor, their headquarters in Ann Arbor, and he really toured the country putting Borders deals together with their management, really from California to Michigan to Florida. Now, we were lucky enough to see the writing on the wall for Borders. We were constantly in dialogue, and before Borders filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy, we had divested of almost a third of our Borders exposure. And after the bankruptcy, we were lucky. I think the conservatism of my father, our balance sheet was in fantastic shape, and so that wasn't a risk for us. But it was a difficult experience. It was a fantastic learning experience when you look at it in arrears. But Borders at the time was our second largest tenant, and as we know today, the Chapter 11 bankruptcy, the reorganization, resulted in a complete liquidation of the company. Fast forward to today and how we use that experience and leverage that knowledge that we learned. Everything we do at this company, all the investments that we make, are really looked through the lens of e-commerce resistance. We are a retail landlord to tenants of all types. But most important, we are a retail landlord to tenants that we believe will be in business and that won't be, frankly, impacted by mobile e-commerce today. Buying things on your iPhone, buying things on your iPad. The world is dynamically changing. The retail landscape is dynamically changing. And if we wouldn't have gone through that experience, while it was difficult while we went through it, obviously, but if I personally wouldn't have gone through that experience, I wouldn't have the lens and I wouldn't have the perspective that has allowed us to grow to this point today.
If you want to learn more, www.agreerealty.com. Joey, 2013. You're 34 years old. And you take over as CEO of this publicly traded company. Today, you're all the way up to 36. I think I see some gray over there, Joey.
You do.
You are the second youngest CEO in the Standard & Poor's 1500 Index. The one person younger than you is this kid that's never going to be much, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, forget about him, right?
Okay. just a few more zeros, Joey. Why did Dad turn the business over to you at 34 years old?
It's a fantastic question. It goes back to my answer. My father had such a unique combination, and still has it today, of having foresight and patience combined with just the ability, really, to take his hands off and pass the torch, which is so unique. And I think that's something that John Rakolta sees in me and his experience with his father. I look at my children today and I say, my father's crazy. I mean, to give the reins of the company as CEO over at that time, and really earlier as executive vice president, as president of the company, really running the day-to-day and strategic operations of it, to a 34-year-old, is not the most logical step. I think my father saw something in me, but more importantly, I think he sees something in himself where he knows really his boundaries, and he knew to pass it on. And it amazes me all the time that he had the ability. I mean, you get into real estate and you get into most businesses, and ego and money are the most important things for a lot of CEOs and business people, Jack, as you're aware of. My father, neither of them are driving forces. And I learned that at a very, very young age. And he is the most unselfish, the most intelligent person that I know. And look, the decision obviously worked out in retrospect for him to pass that torch. But it was a fantastic decision. It's an unbelievable decision make. It was a fantastic gift. And it's something that I marvel at all the time.
Your wife Haley would say, Joey, let's go a little easier on her sons. George is 4 and Alex is 2, so they ain't quite ready to take the reins, but, you know, go easy on them.
Not yet.
In the last 5 years, you and your team have tripled its retail portfolio size and more than doubled its enterprise value. How have you done it?
Yeah, we've taken this portfolio in just over 5 years from 70-plus assets to 280. We've taken it from 16 states to 41 states across this country. We went from 6 heavily concentrated retail sectors, books among them, to over 24 e-commerce resistant sectors today. And the portfolio today is $1 billion real estate portfolio compared to $350 million. We've done it by really taking everything and turning it inside out that we do. We've launched the acquisition platform, which was a tremendous growth accelerator for us, and then our joint venture capital platform. All the while, most importantly, we've maintained the DNA of this company that you mentioned has really been around since the early 70s from my father, and that is a bottoms-up approach to real estate. It's a fundamental brick-and-mortar approach, understanding the unique attributes of real estate. And we've grown the company, I think, most importantly, without taking outsized risks. We haven't sacrificed our balance sheet. That conservative mindset pervades everything we do today. But we've really undertaken a complete overhaul of the people, the processes, and the systems, as I mentioned. And we've scaled this business today where we're in a position now as a $1 billion portfolio. You know, we feel that we're getting within striking distance of our ultimate goal, and that's to take this to $2.5 to $3.5 billion. And that's our goal and our operating strategy, and we're focused on hitting it.
We're talking to a most extraordinary young man, Joey Agri, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Joey Agri, who's at 36 years old, is the second youngest CEO of the Standard & Poor's 1500 Index. Second only youngest to Mark Zuckerberg. Joey, a lot of people will tell you brick and mortar is a dying business. Now, you mentioned in a previous segment, we try to go to things that are resistant to that. Talk about that challenge.
Yeah. I would say brick and mortar is a dynamically changing business. Dying? No. I think brick and mortar retail will continue to be a fundamental piece of the shopping experience. you know, as I mentioned, our lens is really, and our investment approach really is centered around e-commerce resistant industries. You don't see us buying hard goods retailers. It could easily be commoditized and sold digitally through really the real threat today is mobile e-commerce. You know, the speed at which shoppers get information today, the speed at which they move and they make decisions, along with the bargain hunting mentality that really continues from the recession that we see, has dynamically transformed how shoppers look for goods and services today. I would tell everybody to really think about retail experiences today. We think that's a critical component. What is the experience, the shopping experience? And that shopping experience, you can look across industries. That shopping experience can be at a restaurant. Is the restaurant clean? Do they move quickly? Or is it in a 20th century mold? It can go to bargain hunting at TJ Maxx and retailers, off-price retailers that have fantastic success, TJ Maxx and Ross being the top of mind. It can go to Costco with unique shopping experience, unique merchandising approaches, or the Apple Store where people can touch and feel things. If a retailer doesn't have a differentiated approach, doesn't provide value, doesn't provide a customer experience that really conforms to the 21st century today, and then doesn't have a full omni-channel retail presence, so that's static e-commerce, mobile e-commerce, brick-and-mortar retail, they're behind today. And it's very, very difficult to catch up. And then when you look at the retail landscape, dynamic change in context of long-term leases, which retailers sign, is very, very difficult. And what we see today with most recently Macy's closing 40 stores is retailers who have significant store counts, who have larger stores and less flexible stores and long-term leases trying to adapt to 2016. And in 2016, everything moves very, very quickly. And big national retailers are challenged to really compete with the likes of Amazon and all the e-commerce retailers that don't have these huge fixed costs and, frankly, these legacy mentalities. It's very challenging for them. There's winners and then there's clear losers today. We focus, obviously, on those winners.
Earlier, you talked about diversifying.
Yep.
If there's a business owner today or a salesperson today that's trying to get in a new sector. At some point, you never did work for health and fitness, Joey.
Correct.
And then you say, we want to get into that. It's easy to say, let's diversify, but it's much harder to break into that new sector when you don't have any experience or references. How do they do it, Joey?
Yeah, and that's a great sector, really, for this example. I mean, we didn't have much knowledge outside of the areas of our sandbox, we call it, where we played. I mean, we were heavily focused on a few sectors. We spent a lot of time and a lot of man hours understanding the retail landscape in those sectors, understanding the competitive dynamics, where the trends were going. You know, health and fitness, for example, nobody's going to work out on their iPhone. That's not going to happen. And so we looked at the health and fitness space and we said, well, we know that it is e-commerce resistant, unless someone can come up with that app to burn calories. We know it's e-commerce resistant. Where do we think it fits in the 21st century? And if you look at the health and fitness space, you see a lot of smaller operators, Snap Fitness and all, you know, the small operators that you see, some of the local operators and franchise operators. And then you have a spectrum, which takes you all the way to the more expensive options that are out there. Some are local operations, but Lifetime Fitness, for example, where a membership is $120, $130 before some of the add-ons. Our focus has been on the middle of that space, and we've made investments in LA Fitness, and we've acquired 24-hour fitness locations. Those are two operations that are really targeted toward the middle class and upper middle class with $40 and $45 memberships. So to answer your question, it starts with an understanding of the entire space. Where do you believe that space is going? Where is that sector going? And then where do you believe your investments are most resistant to the dynamic changes we see in the 21st century? And there's a reason we stayed away from the expensive, the premium, and then we stayed away from the inexpensive. We think it appeals to the most, the biggest market, and frankly is the best real estate investment.
We're talking to Joey Agree, www.agreerealty.com. Joey, the rebirth of downtown and midtown Detroit. It's unfolding before our very eyes. What impresses you the most about this rebirth?
Oh, I think without a doubt it is, although there are a number of people and families and organizations that made a significant impact in the city of Detroit before Dan Gilbert arrived, I think what Dan Gilbert and his team have undertaken and are undertaking currently with, I think it's up to 80 buildings, is something that has historical significance that has never been done in modern American times, but probably much broader than that. The amount of investment, the vision, the patience, and then the discipline to maintain it that Dan and his team have shown is amazing. I think we're going to look back on this effort that they've undertaken, the investments that Dan made, and it is going to be in the history books. There's going to be books written about this.
Statue in his future, perhaps someday.
Perhaps. Deserves it.
Let's go back to 1982. Tom Peters and Robert Waterman Jr. write a book, In Search of Excellence. Very famous. Everybody read the book. And there were 11 points. They studied a bunch of businesses, and there were 11 common points, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about a few of them. The fifth point they had was a bias for action.
Yeah. It's in my it's in my DNA, and I try to impress it upon our leadership team and our management team all the time. You know, the last thing I like to do is sit around pontificating about problems. We do something called our IDS in our management team meetings: identify, discuss, and then solve. You know, decision making is obviously very important. I think it's execution. And then it's the second part. It is the commitment to that execution. When you are changing a business, when you're in a rapidly growing business like Agri Realty, and we're growing top line by 30% a year, you have to have a bias for action, or frankly, you're going to be left behind. And so what I tell my team, and I've been told so frankly, so brilliantly in my past by some of my mentors, is you're not always going to make the right decisions, but make a decision. Discuss it, get your team on board, everybody commit, and then move and execute. And that's what we try to impress here. And learn from your mistakes. That's what comes at the end.
One more chapter from In Search of Excellence, chapter 9, hands-on, value driven.
Yeah. That's something my father taught me at a very, very young age. I mean, this is a management team and a leadership team that is we like to say we walk the walk, and we don't just talk the talk. And this is a team that opens offices very early, closes late, works on weekends, and is committed to growing this company and really seeing it to its potential. Our values, our core values, drive everything we do. It drives all of our decision making. It drives our talent management processes. It drives our underlying business. And those core values pervade from my childhood, from my father, through this company and through this organization. And they have to drive everything that this company does.
When we come back, we'll ask Joey about Stephen Covey's 1989 classic book. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Joey Agri, the president and CEO of Agri Realty Corp. Stephen Covey's 1989 book, Seven Habits of Effective People. Habit one, be proactive, please.
Look, I don't know anything other than being proactive. I mean, this is, this was a business that needed change. And I think we hire people, we look for people that are proactive. We look at people, and one of our core values is strategic thinking. And we look for strategic thinkers. We want to be at the forefront of this business, and we always want to be challenging everything that we do. We want to, and another core value of the company is challenging ourselves to improve and learn. And so we are proactively seeking out the most efficient and optimal solutions for not only problems, but existing processes and systems that we undertake. And I said earlier, you know, the three elements how I looked at this business when I took the reins were people, processes, and systems. You have to have the right people. You have to have the people in the right seats. You have to have the right systems, especially today in this environment with everything moving so quickly and the technology and the technology multipliers that are available in context of systems. And then you have to have the right processes underlying it all. You know, today we have 5 employees in their 20s at Agree Realty. You know, we talk about me being young. I feel like the old guy now. We got 5 employees in their 20s, and it's fantastic to watch them grow and learn. But if you don't have the right leadership, if you don't have the right processes, you don't have the right system, at the end of the day, you can't have the right culture where they can thrive.
Joey, the word on the street is when you're out of the office, those millennials call you gramps, okay? At 36. Okay, habit number 4, think win-win.
It sounds like Donald Trump. I mean, look, we are in this to win. We think deeply but quickly about things that we undertake. We are doing, you know, 70, 80 transactions on an annual basis. We effectively have a closing a week as we grow and grow this portfolio and scale this business. So we think deeply, we think quickly, we try to bring things to a conclusion quickly, and then we want to play to win. I mean, we have on our wall and in our operating strategy is our rules for victory. And we want to support our team members, but at the same time, we want our team members to play to win. Our goal is to be the best in this business. Our goal is not to be the biggest, and we don't think there's a correlation. And it takes a lot of victories along the way to get to be the best.
The last book, and it's almost been like a Harvard business degree for you, Jim Collins' 2001 classic, Good to Great. He talks about find who, then what?
So Good to Great is ironically our theme. It's our initiative this year, and it was our initiative last year. It's a multi-year journey to greatness. And there's a number of themes in that book, and there's a number of themes that are critically important to where we are today and where we want to be. And the find the who is, you know, we have 100% turnover since I took over this organization and really joined in 2005. We have employees, the longest tenured employee is just had about a decade. Everybody in this organization, we added 10 or 11 new team members just last year. So first we look for the right people. We look for the right people that, first and foremost, most importantly, adhere to the core values of the organization. So the right fit. And with that right fit, and you can see it in the young people that we brought in, with that right fit, we believe that we can teach them, mentor them, coach them, put them in context of our processes and our systems. And if they're the right person, we can find the correct role for them. And it comes down to their character. It comes down to a matching of core values. And most importantly, in this business, like so many others, it comes down to commitment. We are not rocket scientists in real estate. You don't need an advanced degree to be effective and to be successful in commercial real estate. We're not engineers. We're not architects. We aren't lawyers. We aren't accountants. We aren't environmental or geotechnical experts. What we do in commercial real estate and what our business does is we take the best and brightest, try to assemble them into a team. We take their advice, and then we try to make the right decisions. And so the right people in our team is most important because they're at the end of the day, they're leading that decision-making process.
We're talking to Joey Agree, www.agreerealty.com. One more chapter from Collins' Good to Great. Confront the brutal facts, yet never lose faith.
My mother taught me at a very early age to speak your mind, and she never hesitates to this day, and I don't think I have ever hesitated to speak your mind. You can get in trouble speaking your mind. You can rub people the wrong way, and people can disagree. But my mother said what was on her mind my entire life, and it directly ties to what we try to do and what Jim Collins talks about. Is control. You know, one of our themes is get out of the gray. Drill it into black and white. Get out of the middle. State your position. You have an opinion. Put it on the table. You may have an opinion about one of your team members, that they're not being as productive as you'd like. You may have a disagreement about the facts. But we encourage everybody, as Jim Collins writes about, is to confront the brutal facts. Have that constructive dialogue. To me, a good meeting is a meeting that has constructive dialogue, that has debate, that has tension. If everybody's sitting around and staring at the person across them or at the piece of paper in front of them, it's not effective. It's not efficient. So we encourage everybody, and I learned at a very young age, is spit it out, right? Put it out there.
Millennials. Quickly, tell us about millennials. 1981 through 2000, there's about 80 million of them.
So I just missed that cutoff by a few years. So I think we understand them, and we understand millennials, and we have a young team who is full of millennials. Millennials move very quickly. They make they want to be mobile, and not only mobile in terms of mobility, they're almost portable when millennials. They want and so everything from where millennials choose and want to live in apartments, in smaller dwellings today, to how they operate in terms of digital, like leveraging technology, and frankly, how they look at jobs and how they look at their careers. I think the most dynamic thing to affect the employee since the advent of the labor union is probably LinkedIn. And so millennials, it's a different way of thinking, and we have to become accustomed to it because it's the future.
As our time winds down, Joey, what advice would you give to those millennials?
There's no doubt about it that in the era of all of this technology, the most important thing that impacted and influenced my upbringing, my career trajectory, and who I am today is finding the right mentors. Attach yourself to the right mentors. At the end of the day, this is still people, and business is still about relationships. It's not about how many keys you can stroke in a minute or how much code you can write. This is the business is about relationship, and I was lucky enough to have fantastic mentor, starting with my father. And then I attached myself to people to the point of they probably wanted me to go away and tried to extract all of the information, all of the knowledge that I could. And that's what I would tell people.
Joey Agree, what a shining example of a great young American leader. Keep making Mom and Dad proud and Haley proud as well.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn. Believe in you.